We could probably just go ahead and have an invitation right about now. I'm just telling you. Thank you, Ray. It's one of those things where when you hear those songs, they go with you all week. God puts that right in there, and you're able to hear that and listen to that all week long, and that is such a blessing. Such a blessing. You know, when she's standing there, she's singing about it's nothing but the blood. It's only about Jesus. If we could get that through our minds, if we could get that settled into our heart, then that's the battle. But too many times, we think salvation is something different. We think salvation is something that we do. It's something that that we have to follow. It's nothing but Jesus. It's nothing but the blood. And this morning we're going to talk in Exodus chapter 13. It's just a few short verses. But we're going to talk about the fact that we think things are different. We think they should be different than they are. So we're going to start in verse 17. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here with you.' So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we open your word this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us. Because if he doesn't, Lord, we're wasting our time. Lord, we want to praise you, we want to worship you, but we want to be what you desire us to be. So we pray that you would move in this place. Take over. In your name we pray. Amen. As the people of Israel, as God was bringing them out of Egypt, at this point they are on their way out of Egypt and they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. And we know that. We've heard that story where Moses parts the Red Sea. But do you know why they were supposed to leave Egypt? Nine times from chapter 3 of Exodus to chapter 10, it says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me on the mountain." The whole point of their freedom, of being brought out of slavery in Egypt, was so that they would go and worship God. So many times you and I think when we read that story or when we think of our life, we think the whole point is to get us out of freedom, to get us out to freedom. God doesn't want us in slavery, and that's all true. But the reason he did not want them in slavery is so that they would come out on the mountain and worship him. You know what? Too many of us, when we get out of Egypt, we just take off. We go our own way. And we miss the whole point. Well, this morning I want us to look briefly at this time. Here they are. They've been in slavery and they're ready to follow Moses out. And as they get ready to go through, it says that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. The Philistines, as you know, if you study the Old Testament at all, the Philistines were always the ones, they were the main ones that were against Israel. They were the ones that they fought against constantly. And so God didn't want to take them that shortest way. The shortest way would have been right through the land of the Philistines, and He would have got them to the mountain and they could have worshipped Him. But He knew that if I took them by the shortest way, they're probably going to back out because they're not ready for what they're about to face. You know, when I first accepted Christ, and probably when you first accepted Christ, or maybe if you're thinking about accepting Christ, you're thinking, man, if I could, when I accept Christ, everything's going to be perfect. Yeah, you hear all those smirks? Those are those people that are there. They know that that's not the case. Because God did not take them the shortest way because He knew they were going to face troubles. He knew that if they faced something so difficult right off the bat, they would turn and run. You and I want the shortest way. You and I want God to just, hey, God, I bow to You. I gave my heart to You. I surrendered my life to You. Now just get me there. And get me there quick. But God knows the best way for us to go. Man, if you're like me, you know that there's been a lot of times in your life that God has put something in front of you and you've just beat your head against the wall thinking, this is the way I need to go. This is what I need to be doing. But God knows sometimes the shortest way is not the best. Because the shortest way is what we see. But God sees the right way. Well, surely if when He leads them out and He's not going to take them the shortest way because of the Philistines and the problem that they were going to face, well, surely if He doesn't want the children of Israel to face all these problems of the Philistines, He's going to make it an easier way. That's what you and I think. You and I think that God is going to make it an easier way for us. He's not going to put us right up against the Philistines right off the bat. So He's going to surely provide a better way, an easier way. Well, if you know the story, they go out and like it says, they go through the wilderness and they're up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's charging down on them and they have nowhere else to go. Well, if we're not going to go the shortest way, it doesn't sound like we're going to go the easiest way, because now they're going to have their backs up against the wall. They're going to get to a point where they have no food. They're going to get to a point where they have no water. What are they going to do? Sometimes He wants to take us the hard way, because that's when you have to depend on Him. Because too many times you and I think, hey, I did my part. I bowed my head. I prayed. Now it should be easy and I should just be able to go through the way I want to go. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about just you getting out of freedom. It's about you getting to that mountain. It's about you getting to the point where you're worshiping God the way He wants you to. Now, they worshiped Him in the wilderness, not like they should have, but they did. And so many times you and I, we worship God, but maybe not the way He wants us to. I read something this week, and you guys may have read it too. It came across my desk on social media, and it said, too many times our prayer life consists of, maybe while I'm doing something else, whether it's I'm involved in something, whether I'm driving, whether I'm, you know, fishing, whether I'm playing golf, whatever I'm doing, And this was really convicting because the guy said, you are making Jesus inclusive in your life, not exclusive. He wants time with just you. He doesn't want me while I'm... He does want me. Let me take that back. But He wants me to be just me and Him sometimes. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be praying when you're out fishing or when you're driving or when you're, you know, in class or anything like that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But we need to make sure that we're not just including Him into our life, but we need to make sure that we have time in our life that's exclusive just to Him. When they were wandering through the wilderness, they worshiped Him in the ways that fit them best. And when things didn't go their way, they complained. Now, I know we don't do that, right? But He didn't take them the shortest way, and He didn't take them the easiest way for two reasons. One, there was a destination that He wanted them to get to. Their destination was on that mountain. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt so that you can worship me on this mountain. And as they wandered through the wilderness, I'm sure that before they got there, they could see that mountain in the distance. I remember years ago, I took the youth group to Colorado one year. And we were pulling up to a place that we stayed. We stayed in Monument, Colorado. And the mountain that was beside the camp, man, it was so clear and it was so perfect and it was right there. We had two young men, Jimmy Pelfrey and James Graves. I'm just going to throw them under the bus, okay? And they got out of the van and they were going to climb that mountain. Couple, 3 hours later, they said, that's not a Missouri hill. That's a mountain. And they just kept going and kept going. And they thought they would just run right to the top. Didn't work that way. Sometimes that mountain is a lot farther off than you think. And if all you ever do is look to that mountain, well, I will worship God when I get to that mountain. And I can see that mountain in a distance. And sometimes that's okay. But sometimes you give up before you get to that mountain. Something took place. As they're going to that destination, two things. It says that by day, out led them. And by night, a pillar of fire. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God, led them through the daytime and through the night. Too many times you and I are looking at the mountain and we're missing the cloud. When I look at the mountain, it's a long ways off. And there's a lot of wilderness between me and that mountain sometimes. But you know, if I do it right, there's nothing between me and that cloud. It's really easy for us to give up when we're not going the shortest way and we're not going the easiest way. And the destination seems so far away. God, why is it taking so long? Why is it the way it is? The Bible tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. We have to understand that He has a destination, but the only way you're going to get to that destination is by following what's close to you. You don't follow at a distance. You don't just stare at a point and think you're going to get there. When we would drive to Colorado those times, many of the kids had never seen mountains before. And you're about still 2-3 hours away from the mountains when you first see them on a clear day. And as you see those, the kids are like, they're right there. Just drive right to them. Well, that's not the way the road goes. And so many times for us, we just think, okay, God, I think I understand where your destination is at by your word. I think I understand where you want me. Why is it taking so long for me to get there? I'm following you. I feel like I'm doing what you want me to do. It seems like I'm not getting anywhere. Sometimes the purpose is on the way to the destination. I'll say that again. Sometimes the purpose is on the way to the destination. You know, when the children of Israel finally got to the promised land, they didn't get to enter. Many of them, most of them didn't get to enter. They wandered for 40 years because they didn't believe. And the whole point was, while they were in the wilderness, they had the opportunity. God had done all these things. He fed them. He watered them. He protected them. He led them. And they still didn't trust and believe. Had they learned during the process to the destination, when they got to the destination, they would have entered it. Too many times, we just want God to get us to that destination when He's saying, I have stuff for you to learn on your way to the destination. And it's not going to be easy. Remember, after they were brought out of Egypt, they were freed from slavery. Then they were in the wilderness. Once you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God says, okay, now I'm going to lead you right through the wilderness. And you can't make it without me. There are a lot of us that try. There are a lot of us that want to make it. We know, God, I know where you want me. Just get out of my way and let me go. That's our attitude. That's the way we try to do it. But God says, you can't make it without me. You need me to feed you spiritually. You need the water, the living water. You can't make it without me. No matter how hard you try, you will never make it through this life without Jesus. Well, Pastor, I know a lot of people that made it through life without Jesus. They existed through life, but they didn't make it to the right destination without Christ. So the way is not the shortest. It's not the easiest. It's about the destination and the purpose. The purpose, like I said, happens sometimes on the way to the destination. But the purpose is so that we will worship Him. Like we talked about earlier, if they said it 9 times in 7 chapters, I want you to come and worship me on that mountain. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, I'm a beach person. Other people, oh man, give me the mountains any day. Spiritually, and this is nothing against the people that are beach people, and it's nothing for the people that are mountain people, but it's this understanding of the two different types. There are people spiritually that just want the mountain or just want the beach. What do you do when you go to the beach, Taylor? You just sit there, right? Just take it all in. There are people that spiritually, that's all they want to do. And God, I've accepted you. Just let me sit in the beach of that pew and take it all in. Then there are those that, like James and Jimmy, when they got to that mountain, when they came down, these two kids were probably seniors in high school, they were in pretty good shape. When they got back, they breathed like I do. Because climbing a mountain is not easy. If you're going to get to the top, you're going to have to exert a lot of effort. You're going to skin some shins and some knees, and you're going to struggle, and you're going to get tired. Because getting to the top of a mountain is not as easy as laying on the beach. Many of us want to stay on the beach spiritually. But God desires us to be on the mountain. And it's never going to be easy to get there. Because if it was, everybody would be doing it. He desires us not just to get to that destination, which sometimes we feel like we're skinning the knees and we're doing all those things, so we must be going in the right direction. And we are. But He wants us to praise Him and worship Him along the way so that when we get to that mountain, we will truly be thankful for the climb. Too many of us want the climb handed to us. You know, you've seen those mountains where they've got those trolley cars that you just hop in and you just right to the top of Pike's Peak. It just takes you up there. You don't have to walk. You don't have to drive. You just get in there and let somebody else do the work. Whew, does that sound spiritual? Because that's where a lot of us are at. Because we just want someone to pull us along. We just want to set back for the ride. But God says, I want to meet you on the mountain. He wants to meet us all on the mountain, but He wants to meet you as an individual on the mountain. I'm going to close this morning with this. As Moses and the children of Israel fought the things they fought, this week, you're going to fight those same things. Don't wake up tomorrow thinking, oh, I just knocked Jesus over. That's not a good thing. That's your fault. Don't wake up tomorrow expecting it to be quick and easy, because that's not what the Christian life is supposed to be. He brought you out of freedom, bondage of sin, to send you through the wilderness. You know why? Because when the children of Israel left Egypt, when they were free, they weren't the only ones that left. Every other slave in Egypt went with them. They brought their idols. And you had the children of Israel who were supposed to be leading or following God and worshiping God. And then you had these people just wandering along because, hey, I'm out of there. In the wilderness, there's people you need to be witnessing to. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick. It's all a part of your destination. It's all a part of your purpose to worship Him. There are people here today that don't know Jesus Christ. You are still in that slavery to sin. The only thing that could get them out of slavery, the children of Israel, was God. The only thing that could get me out of slavery, When I accepted Christ, it was because of the blood of Jesus Christ that I was able to come out of that bondage to sin. And I know there's some of you that don't think you're in a bondage to sin. But when you were a little kid or you have a little kid and you see them, do you have to teach them to steal a cookie? Do you have to teach them to tell you no? No. We're born with that sinful nature. And that sinful nature enslaves us to do everything we want to do. And the only way to conquer that is through the blood of Jesus. And what He wants to do is He wants to free you from that bondage of that sinful nature so that you can be free to worship Him. Because that's why you were created. You weren't created to be a slave to sin. You were created to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're still in Egypt, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, all you've got to do is look to follow Him. Don't look to the mountain. Don't look to how far it's going to be. Don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect it to be a quick change. Follow the presence of God. Don't follow me. Don't follow somebody else around you. Find the cloud. Find the presence of God and follow Him. That's the only way you'll ever get to that destination He has for you. And He had so many promises for the children of Israel. There was the promised land. There was the promise of being able to worship God on the mountain. The promise of being with God every day was there if they would only trust and believe. And it tells us they did not get to enter the promised land because of unbelief. Don't let unbelief keep you from that promised land. Christians, don't let unbelief keep you from following that cloud. Not crowd, cloud. I'm going to close this morning. With just the point of saying, you've got a purpose and you've got a destination, or you're in Egypt. That choice is up to you. He's made it available through the blood of Jesus Christ. This Jesus that we're looking at in all these, and I love the fact that this group of angels spread these out everywhere. And they had that note, like I said, on my desk that said, I'm watching you. He's always watching. But He's in heaven interceding for me. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ready to intercede for you on your behalf whenever you make a mistake. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, He is there saying, God, ignore that. My blood's covered that. They're my child. They're mine. He's done that for you. Take one of these with you if you see them laying around. I don't care if you place it somewhere around town. I don't care if you carry it in your pocket so you'll always remember. Take it. Remember and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You do. We thank You for the opportunity to follow You. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room right now that doesn't know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today You would draw them to You. Lord, I just lift them to You. For the rest of us, Lord, don't let us give up. Just help us be better. But we can't do that without You, God. We need You. I thank You and I praise You for the blood of Jesus. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.